Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 93 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, despite the massive heat wave happening right now, how's your past week been?
My week has been great. It hasn't been super hot by Orlando standards, but it sure has been moist. We've been getting
yes.
insane torrential rains, and my big theme park visit this week was to Epcot. I had grand plans to hit all the e-tickets, and I made it through Soarin' and came outside of the land and was just hit by the deluge.
And, oh, no.
Actually made it all the way, did a full lap around World Showcase with rain coming down like you would not believe, just soaked to the, you know, when your shoes are completely full. Yeah, the ducks were having a great time.
Makes me think of that one time a couple of years back when Epcot flooded.
Oh yeah. drainage there is not the greatest in certain spots, and especially with all the construction, there was definitely some big old puddles around the park. But I survived. I made through, and I will go back and conquer the rest of the rides I planned on another day. What about you? Are you staying cool, or at least attempting to?
I'm attempting to, staying inside mostly. I am part of the country where it's just like abysmally hot, and with my flat faced dog who doesn't really deal with the heat too well, we've just been like running outside for bathroom breaks and then coming right back inside. I have been tempted more than once this past week to get him a little plastic pool.
Yeah, a little kiddie pool.
Yeah, exactly. But he doesn't like water, so I don't know if he would like it too much. But it's been nice and quiet. I've been watching a lot of documentaries. I've been on a documentary kick, and just trying to keep myself occupied against the heat.
All right. Well, try to keep your house under 80 degrees.
I'm doing my best here. But without any further ado, let's get into the news. First up this week, a new photographic Harry Potter experience is coming to London in July, and it sounds pretty cool if you ask me.
Yeah, when I first saw the headline, I thought maybe it would be one of these selfie museums where you're just like taking pictures of yourself. But it's actually an exhibit of behind-the-scenes photographs from the making of the movies, celebrating the 20th anniversary of the first film, which I cannot believe. Cannot believe it's been 20 years. But apparently they've got hundreds of exclusive, rarely seen backstage photographs. It's also got materials relating to Fantastic Beasts and even the Broadway show.
Ooh, that's cool. This opens up on July 12th, and guests will be able to explore areas inspired by the Ministry of Magic and Platform 9 and 3 quarters, as well as areas dedicated to Fantastic Beasts and Cursed Child. This sounds awesome. Also, there's a butterbeer bar. And while this is a rendering, I love the patterns and the colors used. They're so earthy and, oh, it looks so fun.
Yeah, it's got all of this kind of wood and kind of like stained glass looking details. But most importantly, they're going to be selling the official bottled butterbeer. Which, from what I understand, is basically the same as the base of the butterbeer that we have at the Universal theme parks, but without the topping, without the foam head. But I think in America right now, that's exclusive to the New York Harry Potter store that just opened up.
Yes.
But folks in England. I know it was already available at the studio tour, the Warner Brothers studio tour that they have outside of London. And so, you know, now London has two opportunities to get Butterbeer.
They have three, actually,
Oh, I'm
where
missing one. Sorry.
you could order it online if you
That's
lived in the
true. That's,
UK.
yes, you're right.
I don't know if they still do that. They did that for the pandemic, but could you imagine
Be
just
fair
like
to America. Let us order Butterbeer too.
just like ordering a case of Butterbeer and having it shipped to your
That would be
house?
awesome.
I would love that. Admission to this experience is around $28 US for adults over the age of 16, and about $19 for kids ages 5 to 15, with kids under 4 for free. Sounds like a lot of fun. And I can't believe Harry Potter is the first film is
Film,
20 years old.
yikes.
I'm shriveling up into like the crypt keeper. Oh man, I feel old. Disney Parks and Delish, the what would you call Delish? Is it like a BuzzFeed kind of thing for food? Like a
Yeah,
food
I will be
publication?
perfectly honest. I did not was not aware of the existence of Delish until I heard about this magazine coming out. So, definitely this promotion is working for them. Is this one of these sites that you go to for a recipe and then you have to read a 1,000-word essay before it'll even tell you the ingredients? I
Yep.
hope not. Oh God. I anyway.
I think they also make those fun social media videos that's like a very curated recipe thing where they
Right.
shoot from the top down. Anyway, they're putting out a magazine called Delish Loves Disney, available now on Amazon. That's 100 pages of recipes from the parks all over the world, including some that have never been published before.
Yeah, there's some exciting ones on here. I know a lot of people are going to go crazy for the Canadian cheddar cheese soup from Le Cellier, though I
Yep.
believe that that recipe might have been published before in the past. The one that I'd really like to have the recipe for is a Fillmore's vegan or vegetarian pot pie that they served in California Adventure at Cars Land. Last time I was there, I don't think it was on the menu anymore. I don't know if it's
Oh.
come back, but I really loved that.
I wonder if they have the cones.
The yes, the cones from the motel
Yes.
that are like the spiritual successor to the hand witch.
The hand witch. Shout out to Defunct Land's
Oh my God,
most
that doc
recent video.
fantastic documentary. If you want to relive the glory days of 1980s Disney food, you've got to watch that documentary on the hand of the witch.
Yeah. Well, if you want to pick this up for yourself and try your hand at making some Disney theme park recipes, it's $13.99. You can order it on Amazon and have it shipped to your house. And I honestly might do it because I've made a couple of recipes from the parks in the past. I remember for a story on attractions, we did recipes from Toy Story Land.
Oh yeah.
And there was like a three cheese grilled cheese sandwich that had cream cheese in it, and it changed my life. I had never thought about putting cream cheese in a grilled cheese before, and it
That's
was just,
bold. That's bold. I can see how that could
oh,
work
it was
there.
so good. If you are a fan of Mattel, you will be able to experience a theme park theme to the retail brand in 2022 in Arizona.
Yeah, this seems like an intellectual property perfect for a theme park. When you have things like Hot Wheels, you know that right there. You know they haven't given us a lot of specifics on exactly what's going to be part of this park, but we do have a rendering of a roller coaster that seems ideal for the Hot Wheels brand, and we do know that Thomas the Tank Engine and friends are a part of it. And there's going to be an indoor Thomas Land with a battery-powered train ride.
This is going to be part of Crystal Lagoons Island Resort in Glendale, Arizona. And it's going to be alongside the Crystal Lagoons Water Park, hotels, restaurants, et cetera, et cetera. I'm surprised they didn't say any Barbie things because Barbie is also like a huge Mattel
Yeah,
property.
I'm sure there will. Barbie's got to be a part of this somehow. But we do know there is going to be a flying theater, sort of similar to Soarin',
Yes.
that'll be a, I think, a 4D experience.
Mattel is really just like doing stuff right now.
Yeah.
They were the first toy brand to really option their brands for film rights. I think there's an Uno film in the works with Lil Yachty.
Please let that be better than Battleship the movie.
Vin Diesel is doing a Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie. I'm not kidding.
Right, that I can see.
And then there is a Barbie movie in the works from the director of Little Women, Greta Gerwig. And
Wow. That
I'm.
is that's that I did not have that on my bingo card.
No, it's definitely a little surprising. I think Margot Robbie is actually Barbie. I don't know if
Wow.
that was ever official or not,
All
but
right.
hey, whatever. I maybe we'll see a Margot Robbie Barbie face character in this theme park when it opens in late
Yeah.
2022.
And this is just one part of a pretty huge development. There's a hot air balloon that people are going to be able to take up, kind of like the characters in flight that they have at Disney. And multiple themed hotels, what looks like a Caribbean themed hotel, a Polynesian themed hotel, basically check off all of the classic Disney hotel themes, and they're there right around this giant lagoon. Very definitely a very ambitious project for this area.
Yeah, I'll be excited to see more details and potentially some construction updates once they really start moving, because late
2022
2022
is very
is
close.
bold. Yeah.
Yeah, very close.
Disney is celebrating their 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World with Disney Magic Makers, a new competition to recognize those who make magic in their everyday lives.
Yeah, this is kind of neat. It's open now through the anniversary on October 1st. Anyone who's over 18, if you're a US resident, you can nominate someone online. You just go to DisneyMagicMakers.com. And the winners who are picked will get a free trip to Walt Disney World and a free Disney Plus subscription.
I will admit, when I was reading over this, the 50 nominees chosen to get the trip, I was like, oh, that's cool. And then the 1 year subscription to Disney Plus, I was like, oh, that's like a
Right.
$70 value, but that's
Well,
cool.
I think another cool thing about this, though, is that they're going to be donating up to $400,000, splitting it among four different nonprofit groups that kind of helped out during the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, those are Make-A-Wish Starlight Children's Foundation, Boys and Girls Clubs of America, and the Nature Conservancy. And if you want to nominate someone, they just have to be 13, but the nominators have to be 18,
Right.
which is cool. So if you have like a kid in your neighborhood that did something really amazing during the pandemic and you want to recognize them, you can.
I'll nominate you if you nominate me.
Okay, and then we'll get a free trip to Disney if we make it to the end. What if we contributed to society that would.
Hey, I think this podcast, we are keeping at least, I don't know, 30, 40 people off the street right now.
Hey,
There's
that's
probably
better
a huge
than.
reduction of crime right now because people are too busy watching this podcast go out
Hey,
live.
you know what? That's our contribution. Fine, I'll nominate you.
All right.
Disneyland Resort has introduced a new kind of bin, trash bin for food waste to help reduce the amount of waste sent to landfills.
Yeah, this is a great idea. Right now, it's just a pilot project. In Tomorrowland near the Galactic Grill restaurant. Hopefully it will expand because I always feel guilty in a theme park not finishing all my food.
Yep.
First of all, because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
But also because it's so much waste. It goes into a landfill where it can't decompose. And this way, at least, it's going to be donated back into the food stream. It's going to be turned into feed for farm animals.
Yeah, when I read this last week, I thought this was great and also simultaneously wondered why they weren't also doing a pilot program in Walt Disney World.
Well, Florida versus California. That's
That's
there
true.
is probably, you know, it's all about the supply chain, and there's probably a lot more places that are doing that kind of thing in California than there are here in Florida.
I could just picture these doing so well at places like Cosmic Rays and Pinocchio Village Haunts. Because it is hard to like feel pressured to eat all of that food and not what waste it, but this is a great way to kind of be a little bit more sustainable in your theme park visits. But
And
keeping my
hopefully it will also contribute to fewer people throwing food garbage into the recycling, which
Yes.
does not help.
right. Give Kids the World has renamed their Merlin's Magic Space at the Village to Jersey Jackson's Lego Playroom in honor of a special kid.
Yeah, this is a really sweet story, and the details are kind of sad.
Yeah.
So I encourage you, if you want to hear the whole backstory, to go on to our website, Attractions Magazine. Basically, there was a 6-year-old boy by the name of Jackson Butkus from New Jersey, who you know, was terminally ill, and Give Kids the World Village kind of took in him and his family during his final days, and kind of helped ease that. And his favorite thing was playing with Legos, so they've dedicated a Lego playroom at the facility in his honor. Yeah, and it's actually
It's
kind of hard to read through this
yeah.
story without tearing up. So we might just move along.
Yeah, we'll just
Sorry.
highly recommend that you
Yeah.
go read it. It's a very sweet story. Though keep some tissues on hand. John wants to know if you're going to do a photo shoot about the food waste trash bins.
Yes, I am notorious for my series of videos showing me throwing blue milk and green milk from Galaxy's
Yes,
Edge into
it's
garbage can.
close.
So this, but this at least, when I'm throwing food away, it will have a nobler purpose.
Yes.
Thanks, John.
Blue milk and green milk are gross. More at 11.
Even with alcohol, they're still gross.
Club Mouse Beat, a brand new musical stage show, is set to premiere at Showbase in Tokyo Disneyland on July 2nd.
Is it just me, or does Tokyo Disneyland get an amazing, huge new stage production like every 6 weeks?
Yeah,
I feel
they
like we're always talking about some new amazing musical show at Tokyo Disneyland, which I desperately want to visit, but not going to
Right.
happen anytime soon.
It looks very like Michael Jackson-y, like 80s
Oh
serious
yeah, yes, it's
criminal
totally.
vibes. Yeah.
Totally, Dayglo colors, and definitely a very 80s vibe. But you've got characters from, the Fab Five, obviously, but also Cars characters, Zootopia characters, a little bit of everything thrown in
Yeah.
there.
And villains too.
Oh, yeah. Can't have a stage show without the villains showing up to mess stuff up.
It's a 25-minute long show. I'm really interested to see how they integrate cars. Like, is it going to be a screen? Are they going to have like the drivable characters like at DCA? Because we know that they have characters for Judy and Nick from Zootopia. I just wonder how that's going to work. But I implore any of you, if you plan on going to Tokyo Disney anytime soon, you will likely have to sign up for an entry request lottery ticket to see the show, which is kind of crazy.
You'll need to download the official Tokyo Disney Resort app, which thankfully now has an English language version.
Yay.
Yeah, it's kind of like a lottery system. It's sort of like the boarding passes, but seems a little bit more fair. At least people complain about it less. That might just be because people in Japan just don't complain about stuff. But yeah, read up on that before you go, because there's a number of popular shows in Tokyo Disneyland that require those kind of boarding pass style tickets.
Yeah. And once it premieres, it will be performing 4 to 5 times every day. So you'll have plenty of opportunities to see it.
Oh, it'll still sell out every performance,
Oh, of
I'm sure.
course. If Mickey's Big Band Beat is anything. SeaWorld San Antonio is gearing up to celebrate their 20th anniversary of Howl-O-Scream, 20 years of fear. Sounds familiar. Starting September 17th, running through October 31st on select nights.
You going to take a road trip to see that
No,
one? Nope.
listen, listen. People who have been on the podcast for long enough know that I do not like haunts. Too scary for me.
So it's going to have your usual haunted houses, live stage shows, scare zones, and of course, lots and lots of cocktail bars.
Oh, yes. They're also going to do this entertainment offering called Monster Stomp at the Nautilus Theater with a live band, singers, and dancers. But they didn't say much more beyond that. So I wonder if it'll be like a Fiends kind of thing or if it's like.
Definitely sounds in that vein.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
And.
And if you're not into the scary hard ticket event, they're still doing the free included spooktacular, which is family friendly during the daytime with haymaze and dance parties and Halloween parade.
Howl-O-Scream is also included with admission to
Oh.
SeaWorld San Antonio,
I'm
which is,
sorry. That's good news.
I was surprised to read that. I was like, oh, it's probably like
That's
$25,
interesting.
$30. Yeah. I
I
may
sh
be
I should read our
wrong.
copy closer before I start talking.
I may be wrong, but I think
No.
they might be the only
No.
ones that are doing that.
Right. Well, because we also have, drum roll please, SeaWorld San Diego kicking off their Howl-O-Scream on September 17th. And that one I'm pretty sure is a hard ticket event.
Yes, it's $40 per person.
Okay.
Spooky stuff, give it all. That's some great
Yes.
grammar there, Clint.
Thanks, bud.
This one, they're still kind of scarce on the details, but you can expect 3 haunted houses, 7 scare zones, 4 roaming haunts, which sounds similar to the hordes of Orlando that are planned, as well as live shows, theme bars, and roller coasters in the dark. And pass members can save $5 on their general admission, or you can pay $100 and get access to the entire event every single night.
Thing to keep in mind this year is that reservations are required. They're doing park reservations still at SeaWorld out in California, so you'll need to plan ahead.
Yeah, a friend of the show, Eric O, covered this one for us, and he's
Shout
in
out
the
to
chat
Eric.
right now. Can't wait to see anything you might share with us when you go. SeaWorld is making a very big splash when it comes to Halloween this
Yep.
year.
Yeah,
They
they're
are
going all in.
doing it. I'm very excited. Universal has officially broken the dry spell of no parades. This past weekend, they brought back the Superstar Parade.
Yep, I was actually there yesterday for the first running of the Superstar Parade, and I gotta say it's good to see it back. It's not quite the parade it was. The first thing I noticed is that right from the very first float, there are a number of characters that are missing, both some
Oh.
costume characters and some dancers. There were some, if you've seen the parade before, you would notice some obvious holes in it. Still most of the talent was there, but there are definitely some gaps. Hopefully those will fill in. And the other thing that was new is that there are no more show stops. It used to
Oh.
stop the floats twice during the run, and they'd perform little dance numbers, and that has been eliminated. They just roll continuously now. So it only takes just about 5 minutes for the whole parade to pass by any one spot. Without the show stops, it's a pretty short parade, but it is good to see that it's back.
give us a Harry Potter float like Japan has. Be fair to Florida.
I mean, I don't think you could just add a float on the scale of what they have in Japan and not make the whole rest of this parade look really dinky. I think, you know, Superstar Parade was, for its time, a big step up from anything Universal had done before. Mm-hmm. But I think it might be time for their next big, you know, movement in the parade. I think it's time for some of these to go away, especially Dora the Explorer.
SpongeBob is, I would argue, SpongeBob is timeless.
SpongeBob is pretty timeless. He cuts across generations at this point. And I think that Secret Life of Pets and Despicable Me are still current enough to be relevant. But maybe time to swap Dora out for someone else as a stopgap, and then get a whole new parade in here sometime soon.
We
don't talk about Davik Squidward.
I really hope that this kind of sets the stage for Disney to bring back Festival of Fantasy, perhaps.
Yes. I mean, I miss the big dragon very much, but I gotta say I kind of love the cavalcades at Disney because it's, you know, it's a surprise. It's always, you know, kind of a little bit of unexpected magic. And you don't get these huge crowds of people clogging up the sidewalks waiting for the 3 o'clock parade, which I kind of like.
Maybe, hear me out, Disney, if you're listening. What if you keep the cavalcades during the day, but you give us a nighttime parade?
Yes.
Please.
Like, paint the night is just sitting there in California gathering dust. We'll take that one.
Yeah, well, if we can ship Main Street Electrical Parade to them, they could certainly ship Paint the Night to us. Amen.
We don't need Main Street Electrical Parade back. It will live on in my heart. That's where it belongs at this point. I'd honestly rather see them take whatever fragmented, rotted remains of Spectro Magic exist and drag it behind a tractor down Main Street than to see the Main Street Electrical Parade again.
The imagery you just described there, my goodness. It seems like there has been a replacement announced for what would have been Ample Hills at Disney Springs with Salt and Straw.
Yeah, I tried Salt and Straw at Downtown Disney in Disneyland and really enjoyed it. They have some really creative, exotic flavors, things that you wouldn't necessarily think would go into ice cream, and yet somehow they make it work. We don't know for sure where this is going, but it makes logical sense that the location that was very nearly Ample Hills before they ran into trouble and kind of shut down, I'd put some money down on that being Salt and Straw.
Well, especially if they got really far into like preparing the space, like if they have freezers and like a prep room in the back, and
not sure how far they got. They're not opening this till 2022, so it does seem that there is some work to be done before they can open up. But this will definitely, for if you are a fan of unusual ice creams, this will be one to put on your list.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Do they change out the flavors like weekly or monthly or something?
I think there's some that are kind of standards, but they also rotate seasonally.
I know Grasshopper was like a thing that they had, or maybe Salt and Straw was in an episode of The World According to Jeff Goldblum, which I love. Oh. I wish Disney Plus would bring that one back. And they talked about a grasshopper ice cream flavor.
Made with real grasshoppers?
Yeah.
Mmm. They've got protein. I've had bugs before. They're surprisingly crunchy.
Crunchy. That makes me want to eat it. Disney has revealed a look at the updated guest rooms featuring The Incredibles at Disney's Contemporary Resort. And the internet has feelings about them.
Internet has far stronger feelings than I do about them. Contemporary Resort, obviously, as the original Walt Disney World Resort, is a bit dated. And it definitely, its rooms were worn. They were tired. They were not what people expected from a Disney hotel for the amount of money that they're paying per night. So definitely way past time to update them. And obviously nothing at Disney can get updated now without a character or IP getting put in there. I personally think that The Incredibles is a good fit for the hotel because of the mid-century modernist architecture, which is something that I'm a big fan of. Like, I love Cabana Bay over at Universal. Mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely some bold colors and patterns here, and lots of references to the Incredibles characters. I kind of like the Edna Mode pillows.
I love the drawer thing.
Yeah.
Bedside table in the middle. When you pull the drawer out, it has like super masks. So like Incredibles themed phone thing. Oh, it's really cute.
It's not too terribly gaudy. I mean, it looks like it could be, you know, just a nice chain hotel room.
Yeah.
Until you start noticing the kind of character touches.
Bathrooms, I think they could have made it a lot worse.
I could have been a lot worse. You know, bathrooms have that ultra modern clean white tile with the double sinks, and the sliding glass door for the tubs. And again, like the closet, you can see the Incredibles superhero costumes hanging in there.
I also saw people talking about the sinks in the bathroom. Everyone hated the sinks at Contemporary for some reason. They were like those, they're kind of shallow sinks, really big basins. And and now these are like deep, your standard like bowl kind of sinks instead of like flat, shallow surfaces.
Some fun pop art prints on the wall, and even on, it looks like on the curtains, some incredible characters. You know, it's not the end of the Incredibles. There are rumors of the Wave steak, the Wave restaurant getting a makeover too. We're not really sure what that's going to turn into exactly, but I guess we'll find out in time for the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, if they do it, I hope it's cool and not just, I don't know, Incredibles things everywhere, because the first Incredibles especially has so many cool, sleek mid-century environments. Mm-hmm. And like if you made it kind of like Syndrome's lair with the big tall black obelisks and the fireplaces and everything, I think it could look really cool. But we shall have to wait and see. I like it. I know a lot of people online were saying it looked like Pop Century with the mid-century furniture and character pop art everywhere. I mean, at this point, Disney is going to just keep on doing this. I mean, we have Moana for the Poly that's already been revealed. And gosh, I'm surprised Grand Floridian hasn't had something attached to it.
Yeah, well, we got a little bit of that with the Beauty and the Beast makeover of their bar, but they seem to have halted there for now. We'll see.
Yeah,
because, you know, again, Grand Floridian, for what they charge, is not the rooms don't live up to it. So if they're not going to be luxurious, then they've at least got to have some character.
Yeah, and this one, it fits the the shape and the overall like color story of the Incredibles fits really well. I think it looks good.
Yep. And before anyone asks about the urban legend, no, they are not removing the rooms from the building in order to change out the furniture.
That's
the, there's an old urban legend that the when the Contemporary was built, it's true that they inserted the rooms in with cranes during the construction, kind of slid them into the structure, but they do not slide them back out in order to do renovations.
See, that's, you're just, that's what they want us to think, man.
Conspiracy.
Conspiracy. And in our last bit of news for news in the queue. A new date has been announced for Destination D23, formerly known as Destination D, the Walt Disney World side of D23's fan events. This one will be happening November 19th through the 21st this year at the Contemporary.
Yep. So if you are planning to come down for October 1st, if you're a super fan, you're going to turn right back around and come back like 5 weeks later. We don't know exactly who's going to appear, what the events are going to be, but we know that it's celebrating the 50th anniversary. And so there'll probably be lots of sneak peeks and announcements and behind the scenes stuff and swag.
Oh, yeah. The swag.
It's all about the swag.
For sure. I wonder why they changed the name.
I don't know. Maybe to promote the D23 to help sell subscriptions. I don't know if people knew that, you know, really made the association between the Destination D events and the D23 club.
Yes. Brian says in the chat, might be the prequel before the sequel for the real D23 for September 2022. Listen, I want to go to that one so bad. I've never been to a D23, and the sheer size of that convention is terrifying, but I want to go for that one.
Yeah. So tickets for this one, though, are going on sale in July, but we don't really have any more details right now, so you're going to have to head over to d23.com and keep an eye there.
I think gold and gold family members will be able to purchase tickets first. Yep. That applies to you, good for you. And before we get to the main attraction, let's have a quick word from our sponsor.
Yes.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction!
Yay! Okay. All right, this week, the big thing, two nighttime spectaculars are debuting October 1st at Walt Disney World. We finally have complained long enough and we have a date for Harmonious.
Yes, this is not entirely surprising. I mean, we knew all along that October 1st is kind of, it's not only the 50th anniversary of the Magic Kingdom, but it's also the start of Disney's new fiscal year. So we know that, you know, kind of everything they're doing is kind of aiming towards pushing spending to start on October 1st. And this will definitely be something to help pull people into the parks. Mm-hmm. I believe that Park Pass reservations for the Magic Kingdom and maybe Epcot also are booked out for October 1st.
That doesn't surprise me.
I think there's going to be a lot of people park hopping this evening. A lot of people on the night of October 1st are going to be park hopping over to these two parks.
Yeah, Magic Kingdom will be finally giving us Main Street USA projections with a new show called Disney Enchantment. And we can only assume that this will be taking the place of Happily Ever After during this time.
Yeah, Happily Ever After is returning starting July 1st at the Magic Kingdom. But my understanding is that it's going to go on hiatus for the 50th anniversary year, and Disney year can last about 18 months. and then Happily Ever After could return after that.
It's still so new. I can't.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's still a great show.
I love that show.
I know a lot of people were love Wishes, and you know nothing will ever beat Wishes for them, but I take Happily Ever After over it.
Same.
Any day. So this Disney Enchantment show has a lot to live up to, but I think the addition of the projection mapping on Main Street, like we've seen at Disneyland, should definitely help. I also hear that they've got maybe some new launch positions for perimeter fireworks that might
Ooh.
Be part of this. Not 100% on that. I know there were some permits, but we'll see. I know they've been starting to test stuff. So.
Yeah, and I've seen some people post on Twitter, at least, that they have started installing the projectors on Main Street for the projector mapping, which is pretty cool. This new show, while we don't have a ton of details, Disney has said that it will take you on a journey filled with adventure, wonder, and empowerment, which I thought was an interesting adjective to throw in there, and will feature music, enhanced lighting, fireworks, and, for the first time ever, projection effects on Main Street USA, something I've been asking for what feels like forever. Very excited, but do Happily Ever After with it too when this does go away.
Oh, hopefully we could get an enhanced version of that.
Yes! Come on, please. I still remember when they promised us a Halloween-esque version of Happily Ever After, and we never got it, and I'm still bitter about it.
Still bitter. So would you go on opening night for Disney Enchantment or the debut of Harmonious at Epcot, which is the replacement for the well, it's going to replace Epcot Forever, which was not forever. But honestly, this is really Epcot Forever was always just a stopgap. This is really trying to be the replacement for Illuminations, which was so beloved.
Yeah.
So which one would you pick on opening night?
Right now, just because the details are so scarce on Disney Enchantment, I would have to pick Harmonious one because I love the overall Disney canon when it comes to music and the classic like animated musicals. So I think this would definitely be more my bag, but Disney Enchantment might make me want to cry and melt into a puddle on Main Street. So
yeah. Well, that Harmonious, we finally have this this image, which I honestly couldn't tell at first whether it was a photograph or artist concept rendering
Same.
Or a retouched photograph. I think it appears to be testing of the fountains and lights. So it looks like it's definitely going to be colorful. It looks like if you are standing on the wrong side of the lagoon on a windy night, you are going to get soaked by these things because the sprays of the fountains look just massive. There's going to be, you know, moving projections and these giant screens. So there's a lot of hardware in Lagoon. Hopefully, you know, it's kind of rough to look at during the daytime. Looks a little bit like a construction zone. So hopefully this show will be beautiful enough at night to make up for it.
I'm very excited. I'm cautiously optimistic. Over at Disney's Animal Kingdom, they are going to have a new daytime entertainment at the former former home of Rivers of Light, the Discovery River Amphitheater, called Disney Kite Tales.
Yeah, this they use some kites in Epcot Forever, which is not going to be part of the show when it comes back on July 1st.
Yeah.
But it looks like something similar is going to come back to that sadly underused amphitheater. Rivers of Light isn't apparently never coming back, so it is good to see that something is going into that space. And in this concept rendering, they have this giant kite of a lion with a long mane, colorful mane streaming behind it that looks just adorable. So I'm curious to see how this one goes.
Yeah, I was looking. I think that bird in the back is Zazu.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yep. Zazu, Simba, Baloo, and King Louie are all characters that that we've been told are going to be part of this.
Yeah, I wish that they would give like a full show in there. The first Rivers of Light was the best one. Just bring that one back.
Yeah, before they cut the live performers and then changed it to Disney characters.
No, it was so good. Whatever.
Well, honestly, we never really got to see the show. It was a lot of that show was built around drone technology that they could never really get to work.
Yeah.
And I feel like once they took that out, they never really filled in the gaps around it. So it had a lot of dead spots. I understand why it didn't get great audience reactions.
Yeah. I'm still bitter. Hashtag still bitter. They will also be doing Mickey's Celebration Cavalcade for you that loves cavalcades. with Mickey, Minnie, and the gang all in their very nice iridescent 50th anniversary outfits as they travel through Main Street and Magic Kingdom.
So we have confirmation that some sort of cavalcade is going to still go on.
Yeah. They will also be installing 50 golden sculptures of Disney characters across all four parks, with, I assume, the Fab Five and Chip and Dale and Pluto also being in Magic Kingdom.
This is probably going to make for a fun scavenger hunt, trying to hunt down them all.
This feels like a very Tokyo thing to do. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. More details will be revealed on that one soon. They've also announced a new coffee table book, because it's not a Disney anniversary if there's not a coffee table book.
I don't have any more room on my shelf.
Let alone the coffee table. Yeah. This one's called Walt Disney World, A Portrait of the First Half Century, which makes it feel very storied and reminds you just how old Disney is when it comes to the parks, at least. Written by Kevin Kern, Tim O'Day, and Stephen, I can't say that last name, Vegnini?
I don't think you can say that. We're a family-friendly show.
The book will be available for purchase starting September 28th at Walt Disney World in person, online at Shop Disney, and wherever books are sold. It looks very large, like coffee table book-wise. So
yeah.
I'm sure it's good.
Is kind of just scratching the surface of the stuff that's going on for the 50th. We're also going to have Remy's opening up, and the most importantly, the opening of the Crepe Shop.
Oh, yes.
Right outside of the new Ratatouille ride. And also, we haven't heard a lot about what exactly the Beacons of Magic are going to be. All four parks are supposed to be transforming their icons at night. We've heard a lot about what's going on Spaceship Earth with the lights being attached, and Cinderella Castle, but I'm not sure exactly what's going on the Tree of Life or the Chinese Theater over at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
So details then. Oh, is it the Chinese Theater or is it Tower of Terror?
That's my question.
What is the icon? I mean, it used to be the Earful Tower, but that's long gone.
Then it was the Chinese Theater, and then they closed Great Movie Ride, and then it became Tower of Terror. Who knows? There's like an identity crisis for Hollywood Studios. Yep. Don't forget Club Cool this summer.
Could not forget. I want my free Coke products.
And the Creation Shop as well, that new retail space. This 50th anniversary, I know there were lots of fears about it being kind of slim, not only due to the pandemic, but just like the overall timeline of construction of things. They promised us a lot for the 50th, and it's just not going to happen.
Well, you know, some of it's, like I said before, a year in Disney time runs 18 months. So some of the things, some of the rides that we were hoping to get at the beginning of this, we'll probably see closer to the end of it. But I'm sure they're going to keep milking this anniversary for as long as humanly possible.
You think we'll get Tron by the time this is over with?
Ooh, God, I hope so. I mean,
they started installing the big over part. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely making progress, but is it just me, or did they build Velocicoaster in the time that it took them, since they've announced Tron?
Yeah.
I'm not holding my breath, but I'm hoping that, by the end of 2022, maybe we'll see in some action.
I would like to, just give me a crumb, Disney, just a crumb.
I think if travel and tourism continues to rebound, they see the kind of numbers, that they're going to be, just like Universal is putting on the gas with their construction. I would hope that Disney takes advantage of it and gets this stuff done.
Mm-hmm. But that's everything we had to share for you this week. That was a lot, but we managed to get through it. Yeah. And before we go, I have some listener thank yous to share.
Oh, yes.
In case you did not know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription service. And if you pick Club or VIP of the 2 tiers, the week after you subscribe, you get a shout out on the podcast from yours truly. This week, big thanks go out to Maureen Patterson, Linda Malika, Kurt Barato, and Sharon Sellers. Thank you so much. Snaps.
Thank you. Yeah.
Snaps and claps, everybody. And if you are interested, our summer issue is available now and chock full of great stories and columns from the two of us, which is cool. And if you prefer to read your reading materials in a digital version rather than the paper, we have a digital subscription option that might just be perfect for you. And I would also like to thank Destinations with Character Travel for sponsoring the podcast and making this crazy thing possible for the two of us.
And if you want to continue helping make this crazy thing possible, please head on over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review. Please share the good word about Attractions Magazine with everyone else. And if you want more of Attractions Magazine, you can find me online at S. Kuberski, at the UG Series, or on Instagram at The Unofficial Guides. And Brittany, where can they find you?
They can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny, on Twitter and Instagram, as well as every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been hanging out with us for the past hour or so.
54 minutes. Pretty good.
Yeah. Can't complain. And until next week, I hope you stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun.
Bye.